Guten Morgen, ich heiße Aidan Finn, ich komme aus Irland, and the rest of the presentation is in English. I use that same line every time I'm in Germany, sorry. I even forget to say sorry. I did German for like 2 weeks in school, and I can order fries and beer. So, sorry about that. Welcome to this session on Azure Backup, Microsoft's best kept secret. Hopefully streng geheim does mean top secret. Can someone confirm that? Thank God. I thought a certain search engine might have been trying to trick me and I was swearing at you. If you know who I am, you're probably surprised that I am not talking about Hyper-V. The reality is, you have plenty of great people here in Germany and in the DACH region who can talk to you about Hyper-V auf Deutsch. So they can do a great job on that. Plus, Ben Armstrong is here, and there's no way I'm going to try compete against Ben. When it comes to Hyper-V, it's his baby, literally. So I'm not going to try compete. My last 2 years, I've been working on Azure. Or Azure. How is it pronounced here in Germany? Azure. Same as the Americans. Because it depends on the country. You go to Spain, it's one pronunciation. In Ireland, most people call it Azure. I call it Azure, the same as the Americans. Two things have been selling for us. So we're a distributor or a wholesaler. We sell to Microsoft partners who then sell to customers. The two solutions that are selling for us are online backup and disaster recovery. And there's a session later on today about disaster recovery. I believe it's going to be in a VMware context, which should make it really interesting. That I really recommend you attend. He's an ex-Hyper-V MVP now. He works for Microsoft. But it's a very good session that I really recommend you attend as well. Thanks to the partners for making this show possible. And of course, to Carsten and Kirsten Rackvall, who've done an awful lot of work to make this possible. I know how difficult this is, especially running a big event like this. I am Aidan Finn. I am a Cloud and Data Center MVP. I call myself a Hyper-V MVP because that's what my expertise was. We all got put into this big bucket last year of cloud and data center management. It's basically Windows Server and System Center people in a cloud context. I work for a distributor in Ireland called Micro Warehouse, and we sell Microsoft software and pieces that go with it. So we sell GridStore hyperconvergence to Europe. We sell DataOn's storage spaces hardware to Europe as well, to Microsoft partners who then sell it on to the customers. I blog on aidanfinn.com and for Petri IT Knowledge Base, which you might know because of therot.com. That's the other tab at the top of the masthead is Petri. And you can find me online on Twitter and on Facebook. Who here thinks backup is important? Anybody? Okay. You'll know that backup is important when you feel your chest tighten and your left arm gets a little numb when your boss comes to you one day to ask about restoring a backup. And you'll have that sort of experience because it's usually 3 or 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, just when you're getting ready to go home. That's when the brown stuff hits the fan. That's when everybody starts getting stressed. You know, it went down on Monday, but we didn't want to bother you all week, so we figured we'd contact you on Friday. That's the usual call I would get when I was a sysadmin. You know it's going to be stressful. Restoring a bare metal machine, not fun. Even restoring a virtual machine, because you had so much trouble with the backup system in the first place. The job engine keeps failing. The thing doesn't deal with live migration or vMotion properly. And you just don't trust it. And I've certainly been in that situation with backup in my career, and I know most of my colleagues that I've dealt with have felt like that. And that only reinforces that backup is a vital piece of what we do in our jobs. Most of us use this 3-2-1 backup strategy, or this is the ideal. 3 copies of our data, 2 of them are local, but on different media, maybe tape and disk, or tape and something else, optical something. And one of those copies is off-site. So maybe we're using a courier to send the tapes off to another location. A company like Iron Mountain or one of these vaults that store your tapes in a nice environment for keeping tapes safe. Never mind that the motorcycle courier is going along like this and crashing into things and the tapes are getting knocked around and the heads are being misaligned. Don't worry about that. I'm sure they'll restore properly. But what happens when you have a disaster? Like a true disaster. You need to restore those tapes as quickly as possible. On a good day, those tapes will get to you in 4 hours, maybe eight. And then you have to catalog the tape, index it, and then you can restore whatever it is you're asked to restore. But in a true disaster, flood, fire, maybe that affects the courier company too. And maybe the courier doesn't get to you at all. Or if you're lucky, maybe they get to you in 2 days or 1 day. So that screaming boss becomes screaming bosses, because your boss's boss and your boss's boss are now looking at you saying, why have you not restored my database, my application? Because they don't think about virtual machines and switches and stuff. When were tape drives invented? Well, check out Wikipedia. You'll find out that they say the first tape drive in IT was used in 1951. What was happening in 1951? Well, we still had radios that were the size of a refrigerator. Transistor radio was not invented. Who's heard of a movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still? That's some alien police officer who comes to put the human race on trial for war and environmental damage. He's got a big silver robot, and they come out of a flying saucer. That was released that year. Tony Bennett had lost his heart in San Francisco or something. He was top of the charts. Who knows who Tony Bennett is? Trust me, that was the most famous name I could find. Sputnik was still on the ground. The Soviets were still building Sputnik. Hadn't launched for several years after that. And the first hydrogen bomb still had not been detonated. And we are clinging to those tapes because we love our tapes. We trust our tapes. And if we pick up my tape and do that to it, that tape's dead. Forget about it. Whatever was on there, it's gone. The head's been misaligned. But we still want to use those tapes. We need to modernize. Who here is doing disk to tape backup? Got a few people willing to admit. Strong people, proud of your tapes. Who here is doing disk-to-disk backup? Okay. And then the rest of you don't backup. They're even braver. Disk-to-disk backup has become the norm. Now, I wrote a blog post a little while ago, probably made a few people angry, and I said, in fact, I know it would have made a few vendors angry, and I basically said, if your backup product that you were using once did disk-to-tape backup, you need to get rid of it. Because it's a legacy product that really doesn't understand disk-to-disk backup, doesn't know how to do it effectively, efficiently. Disk-to-disk should be your primary backup solution. They're disks, they're easy to maintain, it's easy to restore from, and if you use the right disk solutions, it's damn cheap. And it's fast. Tape, not so. Now the problem there is, we don't have off-site storage of disk. We can't lift up our disk array or our storage spaces rack and bring it over to another location. So what we need is replication. We need a second location with a second installation of our backup software, more disks and all that stuff. This is where the cloud can come into play. Cloud gives us very cheap, infinitely scalable storage. And if there's one thing that's true about storage in the cloud, it is only getting cheaper. In the last week, Microsoft announced a new tier of storage. They reduced the price of blob storage, which is what Microsoft used for backup in the cloud. They reduced it by about 70% with this new tier of storage. Now, at the moment, backup can't use it, but there is certainly feedback there for them to get to use it. And I think the product group themselves want to use it as well, because it will reduce the costs even more. And right now, the disk, even at its higher price of about 2 euro cent per gig per month, is very, very cheap. Much cheaper than keeping a storage system on-premise. Much cheaper than buying disk arrays or tape arrays and the catalogs of tapes that you can only keep for so long. Online backup, in our market, it's a very mature business. There's a lot of products in that space. And it's just something that customers have accepted readily. It's usually by non-Microsoft vendors that they've been using these solutions for the last 10 plus years. And there's a lot of well-known names in that space. It's affordable. It's infinitely scalable. And what's interesting to the financial people is it's what we call an OPEX spend. It's not a CAPEX, which is capital investment or capital expenditure. We're not paying 10,000 or 100,000 euros for a piece of equipment to sit in a second site. What we're using is we're paying a small amount of money per month. So it's a drip feed. It's not a big expense. It's not taking money away from business operations where we're buying stock, paying salaries and stuff like that. It's much more affordable, and accountants like that sort of thing. Microsoft's cloud backup solution is Azure Backup. And it comes in several guises, which I will explain to you. But the simple solution is it is a hybrid IT solution where Microsoft are saying to you, listen, we're not going to replace your on-prem IT with this solution. This is here to extend your on-premises IT. So you've invested in a nice big Hyper-V cluster with a SAN on the back end. We're not getting rid of that. That's important. You've invested in that. You put your time and your money into that. We're giving you something extra that you wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. So it's cheap storage in the cloud, and it is our off-site replication for our backup. That's the way to think of it. And this is not new to most of you. Most of you will encounter things like Mozy Pro or Carbonite. Have any of you encountered something called Assay? Assay, most people have not heard the brand. Assay powers a lot of the partner-driven online backup products. So it has lots of logos on it for the reseller and stuff. And it's completely white-labeled. So you never really know that Assay is the product on the back end. Azure Backup, what I will say about it is, I was originally quite a critic of it, as I was of Azure Site Recovery, Microsoft's Dior solution. But those product groups listened to feedback. And the old days of Microsoft taking three versions to give you a product that you want are gone. They now do sprint development, which means change happens fast. And they want that feedback very publicly and very quickly. So you can vote on change and submit ideas for change and have other people vote on it. It's advancing very fast. Features are being added very fast. It's heavily tested because a lot of people are using it. This isn't like engineering your own backup solution on premises and testing it for yourself and hoping that it works. This is something where tens of thousands, millions of businesses are using this on a daily basis. So it is heavily tested and monitored by Microsoft, and it's very price competitive, which is important. This is the eye chart test. So anyone who can read all of these, you don't need new glasses. I guess that Karsten or the conference will be sending out the slides. If so, you'll be able to read this properly. Feel free to take photographs. I'm not going to be shy about that sort of thing. So if you want to take a photograph of this, go ahead. There are three solutions in Azure Backup. There is the Mars agent. The Mars agent is where we install an agent onto each machine that we want to back up. And there is a small administrative tool on that machine. We use that tool to create the backup, set the schedule, and to monitor the backup and to restore backups. That doesn't scale very well. That's good for one or two machines, maybe some roaming PCs. But beyond that, not a great solution. That will improve. A central web console is coming for that solution. System Center Data Protection Manager was Microsoft's next step up. So if you had System Center licensing, you could opt to deploy Microsoft's backup solution. Now, a lot of people tried that a few years ago and didn't like it because they found bugs. What I would say is go back and look at it again. About a year and a half ago, Microsoft released a significant update to Data Protection Manager that fixed just about every one of those issues. In fact, I would say all of those issues. And they had to do that for Microsoft's Cloud in Iraq, CPS, which they co-sell with Dell. They found a lot of bugs when developing that solution. what we're getting here, and some common stuff here, but what we're getting here is local backup to disk with the option to go to tape if you want, but then forwarding that data to the cloud. Now, I know everyone here in Germany is very interested about security and keeping everything confidential. Everything here is encrypted before it leaves your servers. And it's encrypted with a key that Microsoft never sees. And they really want you to know that, because if you lose the key, they cannot help you get your data back. So you keep the key very safe. They force you to save that key as well. And it is a very strong key that they force you to do, or to use. You can keep 9,999, so effectively 10,000 recovery points, so points in time that we can restore things from, for up to 99 years, with trust no one security. Basically, it's you in charge of the security. What's different here and here is this is direct to cloud backup, this is direct to disk local, and then forward to the cloud. Up to twice per day, we can forward to the cloud. And then there's this. This is an interesting one, which emerged last year to zero announcement. And you can probably guess why. Because if you look at the description of this and this, they're identical. Microsoft Azure Backup Server, or MABS, is DPM, with a couple of minor differences. It requires you to have an Azure subscription to set it up. It doesn't require you to use the Azure subscription. It requires you to have an Azure subscription, so you don't actually have to pay anything to use it. It does not require System Center licensing. In fact, it doesn't require any licensing. It does all the same stuff. MARS, we'll talk about a little later on, but the main thing is it only does files and folders. These two, they do Hyper-V, SQL Server, Exchange, SharePoint, files and folders, PCs, servers, and SQL Server. I probably forgot that, and Exchange. And support for vSphere is coming. So Microsoft will be able to back up vSphere. It does all the same security, all the same retention, except this is free. An enterprise backup product for free. Have I got anyone's attention? I wonder why Microsoft kept it quiet and didn't scream about this. Free. I love that word. My customers love that word. And because they're getting this on-premise enterprise backup software for free, they're going, for sure, of course I'm going to use the cloud piece, because it's affordable. No, you're stuck with DPM then.
Yeah. So.
Sorry. Look out for Azure Stack. I'm sure there's sessions later today. frequently asked questions. I like to preempt the questions because I always get the same questions. I've been talking about this stuff for 2 years. I always get the same questions. So, is my data encrypted? Yes. It is encrypted on site. Microsoft cannot decrypt it. It uses AES 256. Is the data compressed? Yes. It is not deduplicated, but it is compressed. And in my personal experience, that compression is very, very good, particularly for virtual machines. Can I have a local restore cache? So do I have to restore from the cloud every time? It depends. If I use the MARS product, yes, because it's just an agent sending data to the cloud. If I'm using DPM or MABS, I can restore from disk or I can restore from the cloud. One or the other, and I can restore to a different machine as long as I have that encryption key. Does it support Windows Server 2003 or 2? No, sorry. It's old. Join us in this decade. It's good here. We have Taylor Swift and other things. Shake it off. Can I ship my first backup on disk? Because I've got a huge amount of stuff I need to do on my first backup. Can I send that off to the cloud on disk? Yes. It's encrypted using BitLocker and sent with a courier to the Azure region of your choice. Is Azure Backup Server free? Yes, it is free. It does require you to have Windows Server to install it on, but it is free. And it includes the SQL Server piece that it needs. That is free too. It can only be used with your Azure Backup Server, but that is free. Do I have retention? Yes, up to 99 years. Who needs to keep data for more than 99 years in their backup? Thank God. The Mars agent, so we'll talk a bit more about that. It's disk to cloud. There's no local retention. Everything is sent straight to the cloud. It's compressed, encrypted, goes to Azure, and sits in a thing called a backup vault. And we can only restore from the cloud. All the administration is done locally on a small interface. If you've used Windows Server Backup, you know what the experience is like. It's the same experience. A thing called Project Venus will bring a central web portal for this. It'll also bring other features as well, because right now, Mars Agent is only able to do files and folders. It can't do SQL Server, System State, Hyper-V, or anything like that. It backs up files and folders. So it's great for that business that has one or two servers, maybe a file server, or people have roaming PCs and that sort of thing. Perfect for that. So what's it kind of work like? So we have our devices that we want to back up to the cloud. We have an Azure subscription. In the Azure subscription, we will create a thing called a backup vault. This is a special kind of block blob storage account that's dedicated to backup functionality. It can have one of two resiliency levels, LRS or GRS. So either three copies in your Azure region, or three copies in your Azure region with three copies in the neighboring region. So if you went to, what are the name of the two German regions? German North and South? West? North and South? Okay, so if we go with North and South, if we selected GRS and we said North was our preference, there'd be three copies in North and three copies in South. So if North blew up, if the Danes went crazy and decided to attack, you'd be able to restore from South. From there, we will download the Azure Backup Agent, Mars, and we have a console on each machine that we will use to configure our backup. And it's at this point we create the encryption key on each machine. So we have an encryption key on each machine, and then a backup runs once per day, and only once per day. And that's Mars. Simple solution. I use it to back up my OneDrive. Actually saved my backside once doing a presentation about Azure Backup, funnily enough, because my deck disappeared. And disappeared from all my replicas of my OneDrive. And I was able to restore it in front of the audience. That was a good demonstration. So support matrix. Windows Server 2008 Service Pack 2 and later. Windows 7 and later. Windows 7 is an interesting one. So roaming workers, home workers, people in small businesses, we can back up their files from their PC or their OneDrive or their Dropbox or whatever, as long as it's presented as a volume on Windows. Only backs up files and folders. Did I say that only backs up files and folders? Nothing but files and folders. Does it back up System State or SQL Server or Hyper-V? No, see above. In Ireland, this is where I say, if you ask me about backing up System State, the person beside you is allowed to hit you in the head. They get my permission. DPM and Microsoft Azure Backup Server. So this is where we move one step beyond. We now have disk to cloud backup. Now, if you want, you can install Azure Backup Server and only do disk-to-disk backup and not give Microsoft a penny. Sounds cool. Some people do that. The idea here really is we want you to back up to a local disk. Cheap RAID 5 SATA array costs very little, or storage spaces or something like that. Again, very affordable. Huge amounts of disk capacity for not very much money. And when we do a restore, we can do a restore from that disk. Maybe we keep a week of data on that disk. Or if we need to go back further in time, we restore from Azure. Again, everything's encrypted, 99 years and all that good stuff. Continuous local protection. So it's constantly taking data from the sources, little drip feed, and it creates recovery points based on that. And then one or two times a day, we send data to Azure. And we can throttle that and control that based on time of day, day of week, and stuff like that. Scenarios now are mid to large enterprise. People running a Hyper-V cluster, and they want a backup server. vSphere will be coming in the future, which makes this interesting. Very, very interesting, because that's a huge customer base that Microsoft can now offer backup services to. So here we have a customer who has a legacy backup product. This was the oldest name I could find that I don't think is on the market anymore. I couldn't find mention of it. Legato Networker. Anyone ever use Legato Networker? I got trained on it. I spent 2 days being trained on it, and I came out not being able to configure a backup. It was fun. So this thing is backing up my Hyper-V, my file server, my SQL server, my Exchange, my SharePoint, my PCs, my laptops, the whole works. And I say, you know what? Time for me to modernize. I'm going to dump my legacy yellow box backup product that, you know, wants to back up the tape because that's really what it was written for. Doing disk isn't its thing. I'm going to go to Microsoft Azure. I'm going to create myself a backup vault. And then I'm going to install a machine, physical or virtual, with either DPM, if I've got System Center licensing, or I'm forced to use System Center licensing, or I can install Azure Backup Server, the free enterprise backup product that backs up all the same things as DPM. And I have a central portal. Oh, sorry, before that, we have an agent that gets deployed onto the DPM server. One agent. No agents going out to all these from Azure. One Azure agent going onto the backup server. And one encryption key. And one console. So I'm managing all my backups from the same place I would have with DPM or Azure Backup Server in the first place. And I configure my backups. So I'm getting all my data, and it's all going to disk. And I might keep 5 days or 7 days or 14 days of data on disk so I can restore very, very quickly. And my data, once or twice a day, goes to Azure, and it is encrypted. So the FBI, the NSA, GCHQ, whoever can go to Microsoft or Deutsche Telekom or whoever and say, give us the data. And they can go, yeah, here's the data. Good luck. It's AES-256. Maybe you'll be able to read it in 65 years because it's not an iPhone. So, what is Mars? Or MABS, sorry. MABS is Azure Backup Server. Free enterprise backup product. The one that Microsoft doesn't want you to know about. There's no revenue from System Center sales with Azure Backup Server. But what is important to them is that you say, well, I can use Azure now. And I've got some budget left over. So I can use Azure as my cloud backup, my off-site backup. And that's what they want you to do. So it's free. It includes the SQL Server license that it requires. It must only be used with the Azure Backup Server. It requires you to set up an Azure Backup Vault, which is free to do, but you never have to use it. They want you to use it. And you probably will decide to use it, to be quite honest, because you're getting a free enterprise backup solution. There are differences with DPM. There is no tape drive support in Azure Backup Server. DPM does have tape drive support. And the DPM update rollups do not apply to the Azure Backup Server. It has a different update schedule. So you don't get that quarterly update that goes to DPM that I normally say wait 30 days to deploy to be safe. The hardware requirements are pretty similar. This is another iChart test. It's very, very basic in terms of hardware. The key thing is if I have 2 terabytes of virtual machines that I want to back up, I should have 3 terabytes of backup disk. But it's a different type of disk. It's not 15K SAS that's very expensive. It's 8 terabyte SATA in RAID 5 that's very, very cheap. So 3 or 4 of those disks will give me all my backup storage versus lots of 15K disks giving my 2 terabytes of RAID 10 or RAID 6. So it's a very, very affordable backup solution. So we talk about that there. The Azure, the support matrix for MABS and DPM, Hyper-V, 2008 and later. SQL Server 2008 and later, Exchange 2007 and later, SharePoint Server 3 or 2007 and later, and clients Vista and later, because there's lots of Vista clients out there that we need to back up, right? No. Lots of Windows 7, and hopefully loads of Windows 10 as well. So how do we deal with a 3-2-1? What version of Windows is it? What version of Exchange?
It's 10, but I figured out that the mass backup in my test demo destroyed the Windows Small Business Server console because it's using an update of the PowerShell.
Okay, I would open up call on that one. Did you install MABS on the SBS itself?
Yes.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Copies, it works, it can restore. On my demo, it works fine. But to get the whole bud and the big one, and I was wondering, is it working? I may ask you.
I actually don't know. Okay. I don't deal with SBS too often, to be honest. That's kind of dead in our market. It's been replaced by Office 365, to be quite honest. We've the second best Office 365 market in the world. Mainly thanks to my wife, but small business. We're a cloud family. So 3-2-1, how are we dealing with that here? So Mars, we have three copies of our data stored in Azure at least. So that's three copies of our data. Yes, it is on one type of medium. So we're not that compliant with the 3-2-1 copy or approach. If we do GRS, we can have our three copies in two regions. Again, it is on all on disk. There is no tape. But to be quite honest, if I've got GRS, I've got six copies of my data on disk. Do I really need another media format? Do I need tape? I would say no. DPM and MABS, we have our local copy on disk. We have three copies at least in the cloud. And we can opt to have six copies. So if I've got local stuff and Azure in LRS, I already have two regions.
Are the three parts accessible?
They're viewed as one copy. It's like RAID 10.
Okay.
So if there's a storage failure, we have two copies of the data left.
Not independently accessible?
No. If you decide to delete all your backup vault, all three go. It's for hardware fault tolerance. So we have one local copy with MABS and DPM, plus we have copies in the cloud. So we've at least three in the cloud. If we go with GRS, we now have three locations. We have on-premises. We have the primary region in Azure, and we have the secondary or the neighboring region in Azure. So that gives us, again, very close to 3-2-1. It's all disk. But at that point, when we have that many copies of our data across multiple regions and multiple locations, do we really need tape? How much bandwidth do I need to do a backup? Surprise, somebody hasn't asked me. The answer is, I don't know. How much data do you want to do a backup of? That's the answer. What is your bandwidth going to be like? What is your data transfer going to be? What I would say is have a look at the incremental backups now and figure out how long would it take to transfer that over bandwidth. So use one of the many online tools to figure that out. If you have a very big first backup, consider using the disk transfer method. So you can securely courier your data to the Azure region. They load it using a very simple dock device into your backup vault, and you can spread that across lots of disks if you want. And we'll talk more about that in a while. Then after that is your incremental compressed backups. And it is only taking changes at that point. The out-of-band disk transfer process, I recently went through this with a customer for the first time. It is quite an ordeal. Microsoft have heard the feedback and are working on an improvement. The way it works is we perform a local backup. So we walk through the setup wizard of setting up the backup as normal, but we get a screen where we can say, okay, I want to do my first backup via network, or I want to do it via disk. And if we go by disk transfer, it's going to ask us a load of questions three times on three different tools. So we make sure we put in the answers consistently. We perform the local backup, and then we transfer that local backup to an encrypted disk. It's BitLocker, so AES-256. And then you send that disk via courier to the address that you were given, which is the Azure data center. The disk is sent by courier, delivered. They receive the disk. That disk must be a naked 3.5-inch SATA disk, not a USB caddy. A naked 3.5-inch SATA disk, up to 8 terabytes in size. And you can have 20 disks in one job. So if you have a very big backup, you could have 20 4-terabyte drives or 8-terabyte drives or whatever you need, and send that off. They plug those disks in turn, and the data is loaded into your Azure account. And your local on-premise backup product, so Mars or DPM or Azure Backup Server, will see the data appear and go, great, first full backup is complete. Now I'm going to start doing incremental backups. And I will just take changes from that point onwards. The process can take about a week to complete. That's what I've seen. It can be faster if there are no problems. Problems are, there are three tools where you have to put in things like the name of the job. And if you put in that incorrectly on one of those tools, the storage team in Azure have to figure out what this disk is, where it's coming from, and match it up with the right thing. And that can mean that there's emails going back and forth to try to figure that out. And eventually, when it's done, the disks are sent back to you. That's the unusual question I get here. Do Microsoft keep my disks? No, they actually ask for your courier details, so your courier account details, so they can create a job to transfer your disks back to you. This is a device, sort of device that you will use to disk duplicator. So it's basically just a SATA slot that you plug your naked disk into. The key thing here to remember is, and this is unfortunate, Microsoft have only tested and support three devices for this that are now out of date and were only ever available in America. So that is the one I bought on eBay from America. And it cost me about $100, including taxes and shipping. But now I can use that on all my customer sites to prepare their disks for their transfers. And as I said, 3.5-inch SATA disks. If you are a very big customer, you can negotiate on that. I do know of someone who actually sent a NAS with all their data in. And that was because they had a lot of data. So they were in a good negotiating position with Microsoft. If you're sending up a few terabytes, get some naked disks and a SATA dock. Final tips. Read the documentation. Those are your search terms. Azure Disk Import, Azure Backup Disk Transfer. And that'll bring you to the two pages you need to read to understand that process. And then when you are putting data into the three tools that you'll use, keep those names consistent. Don't cause confusion inside of Azure. Right. Who is running virtual machines in Azure? Or AWS? Who is thinking about doing it? Okay. You guys are running virtual machines in Azure. How long have you been doing that? 6 months? 3 years. How are you backing up those virtual machines a year ago? Okay, so stateless virtual machines.
SQL Server can write directly to Azure Blob, and when the machine goes down, something happens.
Build a new one.
Build a new one via
script. Okay, so you're lucky. You didn't have to migrate on-prem workload like your file servers, your SQL servers, and run them as virtual machines in the cloud.
We have some trouble with the main controllers.
Yeah, don't ever restore them.
Yes.
And read the best practice recommendations, which is, the sysvol, all the data goes into a data disk. Don't put it on the C drive.
When I want to transfer a domain controller from the system state or something like this, I have done it and lots of problems with it and cannot get the global catalog.
Just build new ones.
Yes, we have to replicate.
Yeah, build new ones, site-to-site VPN or ExpressRoute. I do it all the time. It works well. But follow the best practice guidance on domain controllers. In Azure, 2 years ago, if you were running virtual machines there, there was no backup solution. Can you imagine that? Putting your traditional production workload into a hosted environment, and it's not backed up. I remember Mark Manassi at TechEd a couple of years ago in Houston. He asked Mark Rusinovich, the chief architect of Azure, he asked a question for me. Now, Mark Manassi mixed up the question a little, and Mark Rusinovich completely didn't understand the question, which is, why would I run production workloads in my virtual machines in Azure if they're not being backed up and restored, and I can't restore them? Because if I lose the virtual machine, I lose my job, which would have been bad. Microsoft were working on something, and it was the Azure Backup Group that were working on it, and they gave us a solution for backing up and restoring our virtual machines. And it actually runs out of that backup vault that I've mentioned a few times. And it's a similar process that you would do with your Veeams, DPMs, Altaros on your Hyper-V or vSphere. It's backing up a virtual machine and restoring a virtual machine. It's not doing granular backup. We can use a MARS agent or DPM. We can put agents inside the virtual machines if we want granular backup. But Azure virtual machines are not backed up by default. If you want to back them up, configure Azure Backup and pay for the privilege. That's typical in most hosting environments. I've worked in hosting. And customers assumed there was no backup, or there was backup. There wasn't anything in their contract. So there was no backup. They had to pay for it. So Azure Backup for IaaS Virtual Machines is the official name of the feature. So this is actually the fourth string of Azure Backup. It backs up running virtual machines, whether they are Windows or Linux, and it allows us to restore those virtual machines. So we can restore the original virtual machine, we can restore the virtual machine to the same cloud service, or to a new cloud service. And they've been working on, I think they've announced support for ARM virtual machines as well, rather recently. The retention policy is the same. 9,999 recovery points, 99 years. And this service is constantly evolving. It's hard to keep up with it, because it is completely in the cloud. The cloud stuff can change very, very frequently. And there's a new user interface for this gone live in the last 24 hours. So I don't even have screenshots of that. I was feeding a baby the time this went live yesterday. The backup and restore, important thing here, anyone using virtual machines with premium storage or SSD storage? So this now supports those virtual machines. So Azure virtual machines, how are they protected? First, we create that backup vault, the thing that we would create for on-premises backup. And then we create a backup policy. There's a default one in there. You can have a look at it to see how it's configured. It's basically, how often do I back up? Well, you can back up once per day if you want, or once a week or something. What time of day we want to do that backup, and how long do we want to keep our data? Then we discover our virtual machines. So what virtual machines are available to us in this Azure region that we can now back up? We register virtual machines with the backup policy. That installs an extension into the virtual machines, basically an agent that allows us to get a consistent backup of the virtual machine. And then we protect the virtual machines. Our backup policy can do that automatically on a scheduled basis, or we can do it manually for our virtual machines. So if I'm going to do some work on a machine, I can click the backup button. We'll back up the virtual machine, and then I can start doing the work on that machine straight away. So I can restore it back to the pre-engineering state. Virtual machines with premium storage. We have preview support for doing this right now. Preview in Azure is not like beta. It's semi-production. So it's not quite ready. It's going to be buggy, but it is supported. That's kind of what preview in Azure kind of means. It's an interesting definition. Some things I think are worth using in preview, like backup. Some things I wouldn't necessarily use in preview. But that's a personal or a business decision. Storage So when I have a virtual machine in premium storage, it has a virtual hard disk or a VHD file on that SSD-based storage account. And when I do a backup of that disk, some storage is going to be consumed in that premium storage temporarily. And what it's doing is it's building up a snapshot of the virtual hard disk. So it'll take up the same amount of space as the original virtual hard disk that's being backed up. So that could be a little bit expensive, but it's only there during the length of the backup job. And then it clears it away and stores the data in the backup vault. The important thing, and this is a tip from Microsoft, is that when you restore that virtual machine and you want to restore it to premium storage, don't. Restore it to the standard HDD storage, because it will be a lot cheaper to do that. There'll be fewer transaction costs than there would be if you were hitting the premium storage account. And then use a tool called ASCopy to migrate the virtual hard disks to premium storage. And that'll be a much cheaper process in the long run for restoring the virtual machine. ARM. Who's using ARM? Azure Resource Manager? The developer, obviously. It's a perfect choice. ARM is interesting. It's what we call Azure version 2 or Azure V2. It's a whole new way of deploying and managing things in Azure. It really challenges some of the concepts we old IT pros have about deploying things. Some things are actually a lot easier. I can deploy a brand new Active Directory domain in Azure Virtual Machines using a template. It even does the DC promo and the whole thing for me. So I can look like a genius while I'm having a coffee and not doing any work. And the boss thinks I've done like half a day's work. I could be off playing games or whatever, and he wouldn't know any better because the results are there. Just don't tell my boss about a thing called ARM. So ARM and CSP. Right now, actually, this slide is now wrong because it changed last night. Before last night, ARM was supported via PowerShell. And there was a preview version of a user interface that you could sign up to get access to. And last night, they released the interface, so you don't have to use PowerShell. So this slide is now out of date. Thank you, Microsoft. It supports Mars, it supports DPM, it supports Azure Backup Server, and it supports Azure Virtual Machines. It is a lovely new interface in the Azure portal. So it's not the classic management portal. So it's the thing that has all those blades that pop up all over the place that force you to buy a new monitor. Because you need a big monitor. But it's the more recent iterations of the design are very admin-friendly, I find. They present a lot of information to you, and a lot of the options for configuring and managing things are right there. So I am a fan of it now, and I used to be a critic. Pricing Azure Backup. Anyone here care about pricing? Okay, a couple of hands. It is important. Because whether you like to know it as a techie, you're the only one in your company who can price something in Azure. The sales guys, the accounting guys, haven't a clue because everything in Azure is technical, and it's a utility system. It's based on how many gigabytes, how many terabytes, what spec of machine. So figuring out how much something will cost is really something that only you can do, and that will not change. And it doesn't matter if it's Azure or AWS or Google Compute; they're all the same. It's very much a techie-driven model. There are two elements. The pricing doesn't matter. This is Mars, DPM, Azure Backup Server, backing up by Azure Virtual Machines in Azure. The pricing is the same. There are two elements. There's the storage that you consume. So how much stuff am I backing up? How long am I keeping it for? How well does it compress? And then there's the front-end charge, which I sometimes call the agent charge. How big are the things that I am backing up? Because there is a charge based on that. So the two things add together. There is public pricing. So if you're paying with credit card, or if you're using open licensing to consume Azure, then you can use your favorite search engine to get access to that information using those search terms at the top. If you have an enterprise agreement, or you're consuming Azure through a program called CSP, contact your reseller, because they will have private pricing that is not listed on the websites. And any pricing you see further in the rest of this deck is public pricing. The front-end pricing. So this is the agent type thing, backend pricing, how much storage we're going to consume. The instance, each instance is each thing we're backing up. If I'm backing up 10 Hyper-V virtual machines, that's 10 instances. If I'm backing up a SQL server and it's got 10 databases, that's one instance. The instance is the total size of the databases. My instance size of a virtual machine is the size of the virtual hard disks on disk. So if they're dynamic, they're smaller. If they're fixed size, they're bigger. If I'm backing up files and folders on a file server, if I've got 500 gigabytes of files and folders, that's one instance on that one file server, that's 500 gigs. If I have another file server that has 25 gigs, that's another instance that is 25 gigs. And then the pricing works as in this piece down here.
So instances means not a VM instance?
It depends what you're backing up. If you're backing up virtual machines, then your virtual machines are instances. If you decide that this virtual machine that is also running SQL Server and I would like a backup of my databases, then there's an instance charge for backing up the databases. Each is a different instance.
And so you have to pay
Yeah. So an instance of up to 50 gigs, $5 per instance. An instance of between 50 and 500 gigs, $10 per instance. And that's per month. If I have something that is 501 gigs, it is two of these. So it's $20. If it's 1,001 gigs, it's three instances. So it's three of those. So it's 30 gigs. It does. The DPM piece is irrelevant. It's the size of the virtual machine.
So,
if my DPM is backing up 10 virtual machines, there are 10 instances. Each one is measured.
So they count the machines
which DPM is backup. The DPM is irrelevant. It's each virtual machine that's being backed up.
Where is the information?
DPM reports the information. So you can see an example here. Different size things, how many instances each one actually accounts for, and what the price will be. So small files and folders, $5. A big virtual machine that's 1,200 gigs, it's actually three of the 50 to 500 gig instances, so it costs $30 for the privilege of backing up that machine. And there's the storage cost. So how much will the storage cost? Do a search for Azure storage pricing, and look at a feature called block blobs. And that's where you'll find the pricing there. LRS is the cheapest, keeps three copies in your Azure region of choice. GRS keeps three copies in that region, plus three additional copies in the neighboring Azure region. It's not some random region around the world, it's the neighboring one. So Germany North, Germany South, for example. Or Europe North, which is in Dublin, and Europe West, which is east of Europe North in Amsterdam. Is that clear with everyone? Europe West is east of North. It makes perfect sense. And this gives you a breakdown of the pricing. Storage can be as little as 2.4 US cent per gig in Dublin. So that's pretty cheap backup storage. And if they support the new cool tier, that will come down to a 1 cent per gig, which is crazy cheap. How much space will I use? Hard to tell. Very, very hard to tell, because compression is very unpredictable, as you'll probably know by using WinZip and 7-Zip and those sorts of tools. What I find is I typically price for no compression. So then the customer is always happier, because they're paying a lot less. And even with that, we come in about 90% cheaper than the competition in Ireland. And we come in cheaper than the big names like Carbonite and Mosey Pro. So skip through. This is an example of backup in my company. So we're a small, medium enterprise, 50 employees, but we have a lot of virtual machines for our size of business, because we're dealing with the likes of Microsoft and Apple, Toshiba, and all those sorts of companies. We have a lot of servers and interactions. We have local storage, 3.5 terabytes. We're using, after compression, 1.7 terabytes, well, 1.5 terabytes, realistically, in Azure. And we're keeping 30 days of retention in the cloud. So that's pretty good, got to admit. And that's costing us a whopping 35 euros a month in storage. We have 18 virtual machines, and they're all fitting in the 50 to 500 gig range, so we're paying 180 euros for our instance charges. So every month, we are paying for our backup, because we're using Azure Backup Server, we're paying 215 euros per month for our enterprise backup. We did not have to buy some big yellow box product. We did not have to give some big company in dodgy parts of the world huge amounts of money up front. We're paying 215 euros per month for our backup. 3 years, that will cost us 7,770 euros. That's pretty good in terms of backup pricing. And that gives us our local and our cloud storage. So we can restore no matter what. How does it compare? So let's have a look at a customer, 1 terabyte, 10 instances. Azure Backup, using direct pricing, because it can be cheaper under CSP or Enterprise Agreement, 1,448 for a year. Mosey Pro, 3,519 euros for a year for that same requirement. An Irish company that I know very well will charge 4,300 euros for their assay-based backup. So Azure clobbers the competition on price. And it will only get cheaper. So that's Azure Backup Server, which I think is Microsoft's best kept secret, which is unfortunate because it's great for customers. Free backup, local backup. You don't have to go to the cloud, but the reasons to go to the cloud are there. There's lots more information out there, so please feel free to take pictures if you want or talk to me afterwards. You can follow Azure Backup on Twitter and read my articles on Petri IT Knowledge Base. Thank you again to all the sponsors for making this possible. And you can follow me on those addresses there. So thank you for coming to this session this morning. I hope you have a great day. There's loads of great content. Make sure you go to Benedict Berger's session on Azure Site Recovery later. It will be auf Deutsch, which is good news for everybody. And it is going to be a very, very interesting session. He's updated it with the latest information that was launched last night as well. So thank you and have a great day.